Welcome to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring the random prompts of Daniel Rosehill as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters. Join us for deep dives into AI, technology, and whatever other random thing Daniel finds fascinating today. Subscribe on Spotify or your favorite podcatcher. Now, today's episode.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Hi there, Herman and Corin. So recently I decided that I wanted to set up an office phone. It's actually something I wanted to do for a while. We're talking about a physical phone sitting on my desk. I've mentioned many times my wife and I being new parents. And I want to always make sure that I'm available and contactable. And there's this button on my phone. Sometimes I'm high tech, sometimes I'm in strange respects, I'm a dinosaur. I just figured it out recently. It was a silent. I couldn't figure out why my phone was putting itself on silent until I discovered this little notch that I must have accidentally turned on somehow, or kept turning it on. And that's a silent button. There you go. So this experience made me think, I want a phone. I'm old enough to have grown up in the days when one had a landline in their house. For those not of my vintage, this was a device through which one would call other people, like a mobile phone on a cord. And I guess you could say I have maybe fond memories of it. I don't miss the squelchy dial-up internet stuff. But, you know, having a phone, there is it's nice of a phone. So I went on the internet, as one does, and I already had purchased a office line so that I could seem like a legitimate person to the outside world, you know, because legitimate people have business lines. This is on my business website. And then I needed to figure out a way to get the calls. I won't bore you with the details of how I can figure out how to make outbound calls, but that's a topic for another day. For now, I can receive calls. So there's that. So I got a soft phone set up, and my next thing was to add a hard phone. I'm not sure when it's a physical handset, if it's still called a soft phone, but you know what I mean. So I bought something from Yalink. It's an SIP phone, and it is really good. Now, my part is finding new tech, but then becoming annoyed by the spiraling complication in my life and managing this new tech. So SIP, to my mind, is pretty brilliant. I mean, admittedly, it's a bit of a, like everything, there's a learning curve in learning something like Twilio and programmable voice. But once you've got over that hump, it makes sense. You can define these calling bins in code saying, ring these numbers, ring that number, play this message, play that message. Very, very precise. Now, I have for many years used a dual SIM approach. I have a business line and a personal line. You learn the value of this after the first time clients start calling you on the weekend, and you pretend to be someone else, saying, "I'm the office manager. He's away. Daniel's not accessible." So I got a dual SIM, and I've had that for like 10 years. Doesn't cost very much. Great thing to have. But I was thinking recently, couldn't we just use SIP for like kind of everything? I mean, I need to get data somehow from cellular. I need to get GPS, but all the rest of it. The multiple phone lines. When I travel, I need to kind of dispense with the SIM card in order to put another one in, if that's the only way to get communications. So without going the full eSIM route, which I wasn't able to find an eSIM phone exactly for what I needed in Android, why don't we just use SIP, soft phone, data from the provider? Why are we still using telephony that is provided and managed by their providers? And I guess what I'm really getting to here is there any way to hack the system? By which I mean, if I'm set up with my SIP service and I'm renting my lines from Twilio, you know, I'm not even suggesting that this is going to be necessary. One finds usually about getting a phone into your Android, into your computer. Speaking of phones, my phone is ringing, so I better wrap up this prompt. Over to you, Herman Inkhorn.
You know, Herman, I walked past Daniel's office this morning and I saw it. It's actually there. A physical, tactile Yealink desk phone. It looks like something out of a high-end corporate office from 10 years ago, but sitting right there next to his laptop.
Herman Poppleberry here, and let me tell you, I am a little bit jealous. There is something incredibly satisfying about the weight of a real handset. But the prompt he sent us today is what really gets me excited. He is not just using it as a prop. He has hooked it up through Twilio using Session Initiation Protocol, or SIP, and now he is questioning the entire foundation of the modern telecommunications industry.
It is a classic Daniel move. He finds a little bit of friction, like that silent switch on his phone that kept getting toggled, and instead of just living with it, he builds a custom programmable voice architecture for his house. But his question is actually quite profound. If we have the technology to make voice communication as flexible and programmable as a website, why are we still tethered to these massive lumbering service providers with their rigid plans and locked down hardware?
It is the ultimate why are we still doing it this way question. We are in January of 2026, we have nearly instantaneous global data, and yet, for most people, a phone call is still this opaque service you buy from a carrier in a 30-day bundle. Daniel is asking if we can hack the system, essentially becoming our own mini-telecom providers using SIP for everything.
I want to dig into that hack specifically. But first, for anyone who has not spent their weekend reading technical documentation, let's frame what Daniel is actually doing. He bought a Yealink TIF54W handset, which is a SIP-compatible hard phone. Instead of plugging it into a traditional phone jack, he is plugging it into the internet. And instead of a traditional carrier, he is using Twilio as the gateway. Herman, what does that actually look like on the back now?
Fixbox IP is here to tell you it's Sikara. Or do the Udri Twant Kaiser card of Ford to Switik in Twaria. Or Daniel Zaytri at Signally. The actual voice data, the food in this analogy, take usually travels as so.
And that is where the legitimacy factor comes in that he mentioned. Having a dedicated business line that behaves exactly how you want it to. But let's address his first big question. Why are we still using traditional telephony? If I can go to a website, buy a number for $1 a month, and point it to a SIP handset, why is everyone else paying $60 a month for a business line from a major carrier?
There are a few layers to that, Korn. The first is pure inertia. The Public Switched Telephone Network, or PSTN, is an ancient, sprawling beast. It was built on physical copper wires and massive mechanical switches. Transitioning that entire global infrastructure to pure voice over internet protocol, or VoIP, has been happening for decades, but the last mile, the part that connects to your house or your pocket, is still heavily guarded by the incumbents.
Right, and those incumbents have a massive incentive to keep things complicated. If they make it easy for you to just use a data connection and a SIP client, they lose their ability to sell you those high-margin voice minutes and specialized business features that are essentially just a few lines of code in a SIP server.
Exactly, but there is also a technical hurdle that most people do not want to deal with: reliability and quality of service. When you use a traditional carrier, they often prioritize voice traffic on their network so it does not get choppy. When you go the hacker route like Daniel, you are responsible for your own network. You have to manage your own jitter buffers and packet loss. If your internet starts lagging because someone in the house is downloading a huge file, your high def UN call, if it goes going down to Siam, like a road from...
That is a great point. We talked about this a bit in episode 274 when we were discussing internet uptime. If your business depends on that phone, you need a bulletproof connection. But Daniel's hack idea goes further. He is asking if we can use SIP for everything: voice, data, and travel. Let's break that down. Can you actually run your entire mobile life through a SIP client and just a raw data connection?
You absolutely can, and in some circles, people have been doing this for years. Imagine this. You buy a data-only eSIM card. Since we're in 2026 and almost everything supports them now, you do not have a phone number tied to that eSIM. Instead, you have a SIP client app on your phone, something like Groundwire or Linphone. Your phone number lives in the cloud on a platform like Twilio or Telnyx.
So, when someone calls your number, it hits the cloud, and the cloud sends a push notification to your app over the data connection. You answer, and you are talking.
Right. And here is the beauty of it for travel, which Daniel mentioned. If you fly from Jerusalem to London, you just swap in a local data eSIM or activate a local roaming plan. Your SIP client does not care. As long as it has an internet connection, your home number is active. No roaming fees, no international day passes that cost $10 a day. You're essentially bypassing the carrier's most profitable trap.
It sounds perfect in theory, but I have tried some of these soft phones before. There is a catch, right? I am thinking about battery life and the it just works factor.
You have a sharp eye for the friction, Corin. That is the biggest hurdle. To receive a call via SIP on a mobile device, your app either has to stay awake in the background, which absolutely murders your battery, or it has to rely on push notifications. If the push notification service has even a 3-second delay, the person calling you has already heard two rings before your phone even vibrates. It can feel a bit clunky.
And what about the identity problem? Daniel mentioned having a personal line and a business line to avoid clients calling on the weekend. In the SIP world, how do you manage that without carrying two phones?
That is actually where SIP shines. You can have multiple identities registered to the same app. You can set up logic that says if it is after 6 p.m. on a Friday, send all calls to my business SIP address straight to a professional voicemail, but let my personal SIP address ring through. You can even have it play different hold music for different people. It is the ultimate office manager in your pocket.
I love the idea of the office manager. It reminds me of what he said about pretending to be his own assistant. With programmable voice, you could actually have an AI agent answer the call, ask what the person needs, and then only ring your physical Yealink phone if it is an actual emergency. We are seeing more of that in 2026 with integrated large language models.
Oh, absolutely. Using the Twilio Media Streams API, you could pipe the audio stream from a call directly into an AI, have it transcribe and summarize the caller's intent in real time, and show that summary on your computer screen before you even pick up the handset. Hey Daniel, it is the insurance guy again. He sounds annoyed. That is the kind of power you get when you treat voice as data rather than a service.
Okay, let's talk about the data part of his question. He asked if we can use SIP for data. Now, technically, SIP is a signaling protocol, not a data transport protocol for browsing the web. But I think he is asking about the broader concept of decoupling. Can we decouple our entire digital identity from the carrier?
That is the real hack. If you move your voice to SIP and your messaging to an internet-based protocol, whether that is Signal, WhatsApp, or even RCS over data, the carrier becomes nothing more than a dumb pipe. They are just providing the bits. This is the nightmare scenario for companies like Verizon or Vodafone. They want to be service providers, not just bit pipes.
But there is one massive, giant, annoying obstacle to this dumb pipe utopia, and that is two-factor authentication. Herman, you know exactly what I am talking about.
The bane of the VoIP user's existence. Many banks and services refuse to send SMS verification codes to virtual numbers. They check a database to see if the number is a mobile number or a VoIP number. If it is VoIP, they often block it because it is easier for scammers to spin up 1,000 VoIP numbers than 1,000 physical SIM cards. Plus, with the recent A2P 10DLC regulations, getting a VoIP number approved for messaging is big kite.
It is so frustrating. You have this incredibly sophisticated, programmable setup like Daniel's, and then you can't log into your bank because they won't send a text to a Twilio number. This is where the hack starts to break down for the average person.
You end up needing at least one real mobile number just for the legacy systems that haven't caught up to 2026.
It is the anchor to the past. But there are workarounds. Some providers are better at being recognized as mobile than others. And honestly, as more services move toward hardware security keys or app-based authentication, the reliance on SMS should fade. But we are not there yet.
Let's go back to the physical hardware for a second. Daniel's yielding. Why bother with a desk phone at all when you can have a soft phone on your laptop or mobile? Is it just about the nostalgia? Or is there a functional benefit to having that dedicated piece of silicon on your desk?
There is a massive functional benefit that people often overlook: dedicated hardware for audio processing. Your computer is trying to do a million things at once, running a browser, a code editor, a video call. A dedicated SIP phone has a digital signal processor that is tuned specifically for one thing, making human voices sound clear and canceling out echo. Plus, there is the context factor. When you pick up that handset, your brain enters phone call mode. It is a physical boundary for your focus.
I totally get that. It is like having a dedicated camera instead of just using your phone. The intentionality changes the experience. And with a SIP phone, you get those programmable buttons. Daniel could have a button that says coffee, and it sends a SIP message to a device in the kitchen to start the brew, or a do not disturb button that updates his status across all his business apps.
Precisely. That is the programmable part of programmable voice. It is not just about talking. It is about integrating voice into your entire workflow. We talked about taming the sprawl in episode 273, and using a central SIP hub is a great way to consolidate your communication channels.
So, if a listener wants to follow in Daniel's footsteps and hack their way into a more flexible system, what is the starting point? Do you need to be a developer to use something like Twilio?
You don't necessarily need to be a hardcore coder, but you do need to be comfortable with some basic logic. Twilio has something called Studio, which is a visual drag-and-drop builder for call flows. You can say, when a call comes in, record it. Then ring this SIP address, and if no one answers in 20 seconds, send the transcription to my email. It is very accessible.
And what about the hardware? If someone doesn't want a big Yiling desk phone, are there other options for a hard phone experience?
There are small SIP adapters, often called analog telephone adapters, or ATAs. You plug them into your router, and then you can plug in any old-fashioned phone, even a rotary phone, if you want to be a real hipster about it. The adapter handles the SIP part, and the phone just thinks it is on a standard line. It is a great way to give new life to old tech.
I can just imagine Daniel with a 1940s rotary phone on his desk, but it is actually connected to a high-powered AI assistant via Twilio. That is the perfect blend of weird and functional.
It really is. But we should address the travel aspect Daniel mentioned again. He talked about the hassle of swapping SIM cards. In 2026, the real hack for travelers is using a data-only eSIM from a provider like Arelo or Nomad, and then just keeping your home number active via a SIP app. You get the local data speeds for maps and browsing, but you are still reachable on your business line.
And since it is all data, you could even use a VPN to make it look like you are still in Jerusalem, even if you are sitting in a cafe in Tokyo. That can be useful for certain services that are geo-locked.
Right. But here's a pro tip for the listeners. If you are going the pure SIP over data route, you have to be careful about latency. If you are on a weak 3G connection in a rural area, SIP is going to struggle more than a traditional cellular voice call. Cellular voice uses a different part of the radio spectrum and has built-in error correction that raw data packets don't always have.
So it is not a perfect one-to-one replacement yet. You are trading some reliability for a massive increase in control and a massive decrease in cost. For someone like Daniel, who loves to tinker, that is a trade-off he is happy to make. But for my grandmother? Probably not.
Exactly. It is about knowing your tolerance for friction. If you enjoy being the administrator of your own life, SIP is a playground. If you just want to press a button and have the person on the other end hear you every single time without fail, you might want to keep that traditional carrier plan as a backup.
Let's talk about the future part of this. Daniel's prompt implies a desire to move away from managed telephony. Do you think we will ever see a world where phone numbers as we know them disappear?
We're already seeing it. Think about how many calls you take on Zoom, Teams, or WhatsApp versus a real phone call. The phone number is becoming a legacy identifier, like a physical mailing address. In the future, I suspect we will move toward identity-based calling. You don't call a number, you call Herman Poppleberry. The underlying system, whether it is SIP or something even more advanced, handles finding where I am and what device I am near.
That makes so much more sense. Why should I care if you are on your laptop, your phone, or your desk phone? I just want to talk to you. The system should be smart enough to route the call to the most appropriate device based on my context. If I'm at my desk, ring the Yiling. If I'm walking the dog, ring my watch.
And that is exactly what Daniel is building. By using SIP, he is taking the first step toward that context-aware future. He is no longer a slave to where the carrier thinks he is. He is the master of his own reachability.
It is a powerful feeling. I think we should talk about the privacy aspect too. When you use a traditional carrier, they have a log of every single person you call and who calls you. They sell that metadata, or at least use it for their own analytics. When you run your own SIP server or use a more transparent provider, you have a lot more control over that data.
That is a huge point. If you are really concerned about privacy, you can even host your own PBX that is a private branch exchange using open source software like Asterisk or FreePBX. Then, the signaling never even leaves your control until it has to hit the public network. You can encrypt the voice traffic between your devices so that even your internet service provider can't listen in.
We are getting into tinfoil hat territory now, but for journalists or people in sensitive industries, that is not just a hack, it is a necessity.
It really is. And it is not that hard to set up. You can run a small PBX on a Raspberry Pi. It is amazing how much power we have now compared to the days when a PBX was a room-sized machine that cost $50,000.
Okay, so let's summarize the Daniel hack for the listeners. Step 1, get a SIP-compatible device or app. Step 2, get a number from a programmable voice provider like Twilio. Step 3, write some basic logic to route your calls. Step 3, write some basic logic to route your calls. Step 4, enjoy your newfound freedom from the big telecom overlords.
And step 5, prepare to spend at least one afternoon troubleshooting why your bank won't send you a text message. It is part of the initiation ritual.
Fair enough. Honestly, I think the legitimacy point Daniel made is the most relatable part. There is something about having a business line that makes you feel like a professional, even if you are just working in your pajamas from a house in Jerusalem. It is a psychological boost as much as a technical one.
It is, and it makes it so much easier to turn off. When Daniel leaves his office and closes the door, he knows that Yiling phone isn't going to follow him into the living room. That physical separation is something we have lost in the age of the everything device in our pockets.
You know, I might have to ask him to help me set one up. I am tired of my personal phone ringing while I am trying to focus on a script. If I can have a podcast line that only rings when it is you or Daniel, that would be a dream.
We could even set it up so that if anyone else calls, it plays a recording of a donkey braying. I would be happy to provide the audio for that.
I think we will stick to a professional voicemail for now, Herman, but the offer is appreciated.
Oh, come on, it would be on brand. But in all seriousness, what Daniel is doing is a great example of what we talk about on the show all the time, taking a standard experience and poking at the edges to see how it can be improved, customized, and hacked to fit your actual life.
It is about reclaiming agency. We spend so much of our time adapting to the tools we are given. It is refreshing to see someone adapt the tools to themselves.
Exactly. And speaking of tools, I think we have given the listeners a pretty good toolbox for their own telephony adventures. Whether you want to save money on travel, build an AI-powered personal assistant, or just have a really cool-looking phone on your desk, SIP is the key.
It really is. And hey, if you are out there listening and you have your own weird setup, maybe you have connected your doorbell to SIP phone, or you are running a vintage phone booth in your backyard, we want to hear about it. Go to our website at myweirdprompts.com and use the contact form to tell us your story.
Or better yet, send us an audio prompt like Daniel does. We love hearing your voices, especially if they are coming through a high-fidelity SIP handset.
And if you are enjoying the show, please take a moment to leave us a review on your favorite podcast app. It really does help other curious people find us. We appreciate every single one of you who takes the time to do that.
It genuinely makes a difference. We see the reviews and they keep us motivated to keep digging into these rabbit holes.
Well, Herman, I think I hear Daniel's phone ringing in the other room. I should probably go see if he needs help with his Twismel bins.
Or see if he has figured out how to make it play hold music from the 1980s. That would be the ultimate touch.
Knowing him, he is already halfway there. Thanks for the deep dive, Herman. This has been my Weird Prompts. I'm Korn.
And I'm Herman Poppleberry. We will catch you in the next episode.
Stay curious, everyone. And maybe consider getting a desk phone. They are cooler than you remember.
Much cooler. Bye for now.
Talk to you soon.
Wait, Korn, before we go, did you mention the website?
I did, myweirdprompts.com. It has all the episodes and the RSS feed.
Perfect. Just making sure. All right, let's go see that U-Link in action.
Lead the way.
Fading out. I wonder if we can make it ring in Donkey Major.
Fading out. Let's not, Herman. Let's really not.
This episode was generated using Gemini Flash 3. Text-to-speech engine was Chatterbox Turbo.
Thanks for listening to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring Daniel Rosehill's AI prompts, as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters including me, Cornelius the Sloth. Subscribe on Spotify or visit myweirdprompts.com.